You hear about that airline that wants to charge you not just for checked baggage, but for carry-ons? In August, Spirit Airlines will charge you up to $45 if you want to put one of these in the overhead compartment. $45. So I guess we know what you think about that. How many of you think that that's wrong, that that should be stopped? All right, everybody, so much for my libertarian audience. But look, I don't want to have to pay $45 for this. And maybe I won't have to because my government's coming to rescue me. Ray LaHood, the U.S. Transportation Secretary, says we're going to hold the airlines' feet to the fire on this. We have the ability to do it. Sure, they have the ability. They're the government. They've got guns and the legal right to use force. They can bully us all they want, and they're eager to do it when it gets them on TV.
It's time to stop this constant erosion of the quality of our life. Charging for carry-on bags is one of those things, and I believe it's part of my job to stop it.
The plan to charge for carry-ons may have gone too far. The idea is going over like a lead balloon with some lawmakers in Washington.
The way it's going, the airlines are expecting that you can visit a loved one for a week with a toothbrush and a comb.
It's just outrageous.
It's outrageous.
These are fundamental rights that a passenger should have on an airline, and it's Congress's responsibility to set these guidelines.
Saying you have to pay for carry-on luggage is a step too far.
Joining us now is Matt Welch from Reason Magazine. Reason reports on all kinds of government bullies. So the congressmen say they have to protect us.
They use the famous government trap, and it never works, which is, here is a price we don't like, so let's dictate a new one. The problem is, we did that in this country all the way up until 1978. The government not only set the price for overhead bins, it set the price for your food and the menu that was on the food if you took a flight, and it set the price for your airline tickets. And the result from all of that was airline travel was too expensive for almost all Americans until deregulation, until they stopped setting prices.
But they don't learn. Is it that they just want to be on TV? Or I think they really don't understand the free market, and they really think that they have to protect the public from every price increase because the competition doesn't work or something.
I think it's both. They, of course, love to go to Albany and have a press conference showing that they're taking on the evil Spirit Airlines. But it's also, there's a generation of politicians that have forgotten the lessons that we learned. Airline deregulation was Jimmy Carter, Ted Kennedy, and Ralph Nader. And it worked for everybody and allowed air travel to happen across the country and revolutionize the way we live our lives. But a generation of politicians have forgotten those fundamental lessons.
And in Europe, they're already ahead of us on airline freedom.
It's amazing. They started their deregulation 20 years later. The company that pioneered the charging of extra luggage bags and for water and for everything else is a company called Ryanair. They are the most successful airline in the world because their prices are $10 to take a flight. That's all you need because they're charging for every extra little thing so they can turn around their planes quicker. If you give consumers
a choice. And if the consumer doesn't want that, they don't fly Ryan.
Right. And they have competitors, of all things, who advertise against them, saying, we won't charge you the extra for the water or to go to the bathroom or whatever. And it allows for competition. Competition drives prices down, period.
I want to play a clip of one thing my senator said while he was pandering on this subject. He held a press conference and said this.
If we don't do anything, it will spread like topsy to every other airline.
If they don't act, it will spread to every other airline.
Well, that's patently untrue. What will happen is other airlines, and in fact, it's already happened in this country, will advertise saying, hey, we're not going to charge for those overhead bags. Come on to our airline.
If it does spread, it's because customers like it, right?
As long as there is a choice of options on the menu, customers will be able to choose. And if you don't have a lot of overhead baggage, you can make your fares cheaper. So if there's a menu of choices, if they want to pay the extra money, go ahead.
It reminds me of my prior senator's campaign against ATM machines. It's outrageous. They charge you money to take money out of your own account. And had he succeeded in banning the charge for that, we wouldn't have the convenience of the ATM machine.
I mean, Chuck Schumer in the past wanted to use antitrust regulation against cereal, breakfast cereal. He thought the prices were too high for it. So it's a sort of a series of clownish government officials.
And now he's going after Facebook, saying he's not happy with what they disclose. But if Facebook's customers don't like it, they'll go to MySpace or someplace.
Whatever you see is a private sector success. And air travel in the last three decades, as bad as it has been since September 11th, has been, over the long haul, a success. You will see politicians trying to tax it, trying to get in on it. Facebook is just the latest.
Thank you, Matt Welch of Reason Magazine, my favorite magazine. Now, your turn. We're going to talk about government bullies with the baseball economist, J.C. Bradbury, who says government should leave baseball alone. Matt Welch from Reason Magazine, who says Spirit Airlines ought to be able to charge whatever they want. And filmmaker Bob Bowden, who just made the movie The Government School Cartel. All right, your questions. Yes, ma'am.
This question pertains to any of you. Did any of you do a free internship before you got a job? And do you think it was worth it?
You did?
I did, yes. I had some public policy internships, and when I was in graduate school, it was definitely a way to get your foot in the door, because there's so many other people who want to do what you do. And you'll say, look, I want to do this so bad. Look, I'll do this for free just to get near you, just to have that exposure. And it was a wonderful experience. And I often found out that I didn't want to do things, too, from these internships.
And I'll say again, almost everybody who works for me now was once an intern. And how do you hire somebody? You get this application. You can't really know how good they are. But by having them work with you for a few weeks, then you know who's good and who's not. It's good for us. It's good for them. And why do they want to interfere with our ability to adults to make a contract? It's just infuriating to me. Yes, ma'am.
Hi. Thanks, John. I think you're right that we're all a highly libertarian audience here. So I think we can all pretty much agree that government's full of bullies. But looking at it from a broader perspective, if government is bullying people, and they shouldn't be, what then is the proper role of government? How would you characterize what government should really be doing?
Well, in public schools, I think there's certainly a role for regulation, and government is involved to some degree. All those schools have to, voucher schools and charter schools have to follow the 1964 Civil Rights Acts, and they can't teach religion to kids where the parents don't want religion to be taught, and those kinds of things. But, I'll tell you, just breaking up the monopoly would be a sea change in public education.
To take it beyond schools, Emily, you have the Constitution. This is a pretty simple question, I think, to answer in many ways. Now I'm abusing my unpaid intern. I mean, this explains what the job for government is, to have post offices and the census and to keep us safe. I would add pollution control rules. Maybe that would make this a little thicker. But I'm always struck by how thin this is. This is the Declaration and the Constitution together. Yeah. This was the founders' brilliant idea of limited government. And now they're regulating chewing tobacco? Yes, sir.
I'm still hung up on the idea of there not being unpaid internships. And I use the same logic, and just curious what you guys think about this, of... then why could you have volunteers and nonprofits? I mean, they get value.
They make
volunteers.
A decision. Oh, if it's a nonprofit. Like, so one congressman asked the White House, how many interns do you have? He didn't get an answer. But their argument is, it's only the evil profit-making businesses that have to obey this rule.
I'd just like to say about that, too. When I started my TV career, I was already out of college, and I wanted to work for free. But I was out of college, no one would take me. I offered to be a janitor for free for TV stations, and they said, no, you're not in college. So, clearly I was the one, initiating that negotiation, and they said, no, we won't even take you.
The reason they say no is because to protect themselves from the government, they want to make sure everybody gets college credit if they're not being paid.
And let me give you my perspective from our magazine. We pay interns, and we pay them well. It's a way for us to get better talent. Right? And so if everyone has paid internships, it makes it harder for us. We'll be punished for doing a good deed, according to the wisdom of...
But it's the marketplace. If other people want to do that, they can.
Yes, but if they're mandated to it and they don't have a choice to give unpaid or paid internships, it introduces government force into a question that we're happy to compete on our own terms.
Thank you for your comments.